But he had been... Now, this is serious. So this godly man had been visited by God with this word that you will see the promised Messiah. And that is, there are not too many people, because many of the prophets, but he wasn't even designated as a prophet. But what a righteous man he must have been. And in many ways, we can almost be envious of him. But today, I'm not going to, when I start preaching, I like to do a series. And I said, you know, I think this day, the Lord is leading me to talk about the new year and what it presents to us. Many people have not reached this new year of 2018. And you know, it's a tradition around the world to make resolutions on this day. But I wanted us to step back and to look at some of the things that perhaps we need to do. It's such a marvelous thing. I understand when Jay was saying missing worship because my summer business hopefully will be gone before this summer. And I miss so much worship. And when you're cut off from the family for such an extended period of time, it's costly. It's dangerous. There are times when it has to be done, but there are other times, and probably in my case, I should have gotten rid of the place or purchased another one that was much larger that can hire someone to be there. But then, of course, I put he or she in the same situation so that they could not be here worshiping or wherever it was in their Christian community as well. But be that as it may, we stand on the edge of 2018. And people like to enter into the new year full of hope and full of excitement about what might happen. But today we need to understand one thing. It's not going to change a whole lot. We are involved in a war that is to the death, ultimately. And we will be joining battle, as we saw last year in our school and elsewhere. The battle was joined on many different fronts. And it will not be any different in 2018. So the first item I want to deal with is leadership, because we have upcoming installation of deacons and elders. Leadership is crucially important. And if God has called you, you must not shirk from the battle. And a battle it will be. But as we wage this war against the forces of evil, against Satan and his minions, and we fight this battle pretty much in this area. This is the area that we're called to. This is where God has placed us to do his work. Now, Before an army can go out, there's a deal of training that goes on. From the highest to the lowest level private, they have spent months in training. And in the military, training never ends, as it never ends in the Church of Jesus Christ, because we are an army. And though I love you dearly, And do not ever mistake that. If we're going to be battling the forces of evil, this is not an impotent force in compared to Christ it is. But to us, Satan and his minions are very powerful. And one thing you need to be is well trained. That training is absolutely crucial. But when I look around and see, where does our training take place? Well, some of it takes place in Sunday school class. And many of you have been AWOL, absent without leave. You have someone spending, Ryan's spending a good deal of time preparing. And where are we? The leaders are neglecting their training. If the leaders, the example setters, are neglecting their training, what of other people? It's a high calling that you are called to. But don't do it if you can't pay the price. And you who are going to be installed, remember, you're setting the example for those who want to be at some stage in their lives, for the younger men in the church. Is that the standard you want them to attain to? The most important training of all, of course, is in our manual for action here. That's a big book. There's a lot in it. And it takes a lot of study and a lot of years of reading, and you'll never know enough of it. And then, of course, beyond being an example for those who might replace you in leadership someday when you get old and decrepit like myself, you have your own children and your own families, and your grandchildren for that matter as well. Is that the kind of example we want to be setting for them? You cannot be at your most effective. I won't say you can't be effective at all, but you cannot be at your most effective, which God demands of us, if you're untrained. So enough beating on everybody. What of the battle out there we're facing in the coming year? It's going to be a continuation of what one we've been fighting now for perhaps a generation. Only it's gotten very serious in the last decade or so. Because marriage and the family have been under attack for a long time. Marriage is an absolutely glorious institution. And when you look in Ephesians and Revelation 21 and Ephesians 5. Revelation 21:2 says, "Then John saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." See, that's the picture that's talked about in Ephesians as well. About this glorious bride, which is us in service to her husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. And each of our marriages, you see, in whatever community you find yourself in, is supposed to be a picture of that, you see. And in many instances in this congregation, you're doing a great job. But there's always room for improvement. We've never arrived. (Clears throat) One of the great ministry conduits, we might say, is marriage. Your homes. As you relate to people on the job, as you relate to your next door neighbors. Let them see this bonding, this relationship, this being made one, example before them. Throughout your relationship. Throughout your time. Many of their marriages are crumbling. There's bitterness, there's hatred, there's all sorts of evil going on in relationships. All sorts of pain and anguish. And you could be the one. This oneness that you and your husband, or you and your wife together, manifest to the world. And what is the world to you? The world in which you live here. You could have be the balm that when applied helps those marriages survive. And brings them into the saving power of Christ. That's a powerful tool in our arsenal. And if you need help with it, then you need to be coming to counseling and talking. Because it can also work in the other direction if our marriages are not on sound and solid ground. If husbands don't love their wives enough, and vice versa. We could just spend a lot of time on this, but I just want to list the enemies of marriage in our culture. I think one of the first no-fault divorce laws was passed out in California under one of my political heroes, Ronald Reagan, a stain on his record. And now people, you have a gross evil performed by one of the parties and they end up with the children. Because there is no right and wrong anymore. That should have been the place where we were willing to stand up and not give in a single inch. But we let it go and we let it go, and now we have males marrying males and females marrying females. And the picture of marriage that we create in America and in the West, in the so-called Christian lands of the world, is ultimately attack upon God and His law. And it's led us downhill. And where that bottom is going to be reached, we don't know. But we better be out there fighting to see that this will be the bottom. And we're going to start moving back. Of course, after that, we saw also legalized abortion. So marriage has been under attack and is under attack. And that's why we need together. You see, the body of Christ is one. And we need to manifest to the world and to one another. This is a very vibrant and loving community. But we've got to become more so. So today, we make it difficult for parents to raise their children because they have laws against corporal punishment. And what we need to understand, the Jesuit said, give me a child by the time he's six, those first 6 years, and we'll have him forever. Well, I think they were a little off. If you don't get your child disciplined and raised appropriately by the time they're four, you're going to have some very difficult times with them. It's when they're two, or even in their late first year. That's when it needs to begin, early on. So this, when you look at a family, you see you've got a corporate unit here. It's not always going to stay the same, but there's going to be two parents and children. So some of those children are going to leave later on. But when you invite people into your home, it's that picture, it's that view of what's going on in that home that is going to either attract them to you, you see, or turn them off. Because if your home life and if your children and that total environment is not a picture of what Christ wants it to be, but something that they already have in their own home, then what's the point? You haven't set the example. You haven't given them a vision of what it can possibly be. And you need to do that. The last one I want to, last point I want to make today. It'll take me a few minutes, but we'll get through it here as quickly as we can. Throughout the Old Testament, the one recurring theme you'll see in several of the prophets, you see dozens of verses in Deuteronomy, but even in the Psalms it's mentioned, is the treatment of the widow. Today we could add widower to that. The orphan, of the fatherless, and the stranger. By stranger they mean alien. We're just going to leave that for another sermon sometime, or Sunday school class or something. Very important, because hardly any case that we see in the Old Testament, maybe one that I found, where the widows and the orphans are mentioned, always combined with the stranger or the alien. And I'm very much inclined to view the fact that we have to watch out for our enemies. And we can't be letting enemies into our country. And so we need to have some control over our borders. And I very much agree with Trump on that. But at the same time, the church cannot be relieved of its obligation that as we sit under this law, that we have to watch out for and take care of and help the aliens, especially those who are sympathetic to our view, as we saw with our Indonesian friends. That is important, and we did rally to their side, and hopefully that's going to be taken care of. But that's a whole big topic. And my concern is now the treatment of our elderly. I went to visit one of my aunts, who's not really my aunt, but she's as close to as any of my regular aunts are. She's in her 99th year, and she's just so near death. And she has two daughters. One of them lives here in New Hampshire. The other one lives, I think it's Pennsylvania. But she's been in this nursing home, I don't know how long now, 10 years, a long time. Now her family comes to see her occasionally. But they don't This woman, now, I walk into the room, and I'm sure many of you have done this, especially the pastors and elders who call, and you who call on people in the church. They don't leave them. The nursing home doesn't leave them in their beds all the time. You move them into a room, and you go in, and there's a big screen television there. Usually there's not too many. I went to visit her twice in December this month. And every time I go in there, there's 7 or 8 of them there. They're just sitting there. Their eyes aren't even open. It's the middle of the day. They're waiting for lunch. I have a feeling they've been that way all morning. Now you talk about a mission field. And this is one thing that this church has done well, that I'm very proud of. That they have a ministry to nursing home. But that's a ministry that families can get involved in. And it's commanded in the scriptures that we take care of the widows and the orphans. And we need to take that seriously today. That will do more to advance the cause of Christ than perhaps almost anything else we can do besides educate our children. And God is honored in that. And we're doing a good job now, but we need to do better. I dare say there's probably some of you who have not, but gotten involved in that ministry. I haven't. But it's a ministry well worth. And of course, we see it's still mentioned. Jesus reiterates this. He mentions widows many times. He mentions children many times. So doors of opportunity are open. You don't have to look very far to find ways to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to keep those words of His ringing in our ears. If you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. Amen.